It's lighter, and it does have a little bit of frizzante to it, and...
Frizzante means, listener, not quite sparkling, right? Where you feel a little bit of liveliness and tightness.
Essence.
Like effervescent, but not fully.
Not the band Evanescence, but Evanescence.
No, that's Evanescence.
Yeah, correct.
And welcome to Sip with Nikki. I'm Nikki Lamberti here in Sonoma County, California. And so happy to have you listening in today. Hey, what's new since we last spent time together? Michael and I got two puppies, Rosie and Lucy. We rescued two lab mixes from down in Southern California. So they have been keeping us busy. And you may hear the pitter-patter of little feet in the background today while we were tasting orange wines in our kitchen. So orange wines, what gives? What are orange wines? Have you tried them before? Have you heard of this very cool category of wines? It's kind of a newer thing that's really taken hold in the last couple years, and I felt like it was time to bring it up to speed. So today we're talking about what orange wines are not, first and foremost. And then I'll tell you what they are, how they're made, what to expect from them, what to pair with them for the ideal food and wine pairing that gives you those ratatouille fireworks that I always talk about, and how to shop for them. And then, back by popular demand, my other half, Michael, will be joining me, and we taste three orange wines together, uncensored, and give you our opinion. I'm excited for you to learn more about these underappreciated wines that are off people's radar, and it's time to get them on. So here we go with orange wines. Okay, so let's start with what orange wine is not. It's not wine made from oranges. And while it sounds like I'm being a little bit of a smartass there, it's a valid question, because if there are things like strawberry wine that you hear them sing in romantic country songs, and huckleberry wine and peach wine, and now I have an accent when I'm saying wine, those things are literally made from those fruits. I mean, you could ferment anything. However, orange wine is not made from oranges. It's made from wine grapes, and it's made from white wine grapes that you're familiar with. Things like Chardonnay and Semillon, and grapes that you've heard me talk about. But the process is made in the style of a red wine. So let's break that down. So it's helpful to understand the difference in traditional white wine versus red wine process. Normally, when we pick white grapes like Viognier, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, to name a few, and we are going for a traditional white wine style, the very first thing that's done is pressing the grape juice away from the skins, and the skins of the grapes are not part of the process. Skins can add tannin or bitterness and astringency and certain types of phenolic or flavor or aromatic profiles. And so in most white wines that you are probably enjoying, the skins were removed immediately and the juice itself, just the liquid, was fermented into wine. That is very different than the process of making red wine. And if you're a regular listener, you've heard me talk through this in different episodes. But with red grapes like Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon and Sangiovese, we pick the grapes and we crush the grapes and we put the whole shebang into a tank, usually for fermentation. Juice, skin, seeds, flesh, pulp, solid, liquid, all of that. It's like a big stew. Because in red wine, we want to extract the color and the tannin and all of those phenolics from the skins. That process where the skins are left in contact with the fermenting red wine is called maceration, and it just means skin contact time. So that's your biggest difference between a typical white wine and red wine process. So with orange wine, you start with white grapes, like Chardonnay or Semillon or Sauvignon Blanc, but you keep the skins in contact with the juice like you would for a red wine. And it could be skin contact or maceration for a week. It could be up to a month. But because of that, you're actually extracting some color and tannin into the white wine. So it's no longer super pale in color. It can take on hues of orange or honey or even amber because of that skin contact. Contact time. By the way, if you're having a little tee-hee moment every time I say skin contact, then you are my people. Skin contact. Hee-hee. All right, let's get our minds out of the gutters. It may seem like orange wine is a new trend and sort of a hot take on wine. I would say probably in the last 5 years is really when I've been hearing about it and seeing them out there in the market. But the cool thing is, it's not new. In fact, it's the opposite of new. Making white wine in this process goes back to ancient times where they were making wine in clay amphora. And a lot of the roots of this go all the way back to Georgia, and I don't mean the state. But archaeologists have found evidence of these practices more than 5,000 years ago. So what can you expect from the flavor of a white wine that's made with skin contact? Well, definitely the fact that the skins are in there adds a whole new set of aromatics and flavors and a richness because the chemistry is just different when you're fermenting it with the skins in there. And generally, the longer the skin contact and the deeper orange or amber of the color, the richer and deeper the flavor. And they just really have an unusual flavor profile and mouthfeel and texture to them, which also makes them really fun when it comes to food pairing. And you know that I love to talk about food and wine pairing, and I'm always chasing the perfect combination. But one thing to keep in mind with these orange wines, they can almost have like a salty or saline note to them, earthy notes to them, which is not the typical profile you would think of with a white wine. And so really great with hearty cheeses or even different types of cuisine that have a lot of different spices in them, like Moroccan cuisine and Ethiopian cuisine. So it's fun to just get in there and explore and play with some different combinations to see what really works well. And it really depends on the wine. The other thing that is pretty typical, but not always the case with orange wines, is that they fall into the category of, I'm doing air quotes, natural wine. And I still need to do a whole episode about this, but you've heard me in previous episodes talk a little bit about it. Natural wine is not an official category, but some things that happen with natural wines to use that term, or why some producers choose to use that term, is the fermentation is done with native yeast that just exists on the grape skins instead of adding a specific yeast to start fermentation. And typically they are unfiltered wines, which is why they're going to have a cloudy note to them. And I think that's going to be the case with some of the wines that Michael and I are about to taste in our Sip Spotlight.
Sip Spotlight.
I don't know if I told you this, but multiple people have commented about the Jalapeno and Sauvignon Blanc episode, specifically about how funny you are, how good you are at describing things, and our dynamic together. Did I tell you that?
No, you did not, but it's very interesting for me to think about because I feel like I don't describe wine very well.
So I think you describe wine in a much more relatable way to people that don't necessarily have a wine vocabulary and certification like me, which is why we're a good combination.
I only went to wine Jedi school.
Exactly. So what do you know about orange wine?
All I know is the color is orange, and I feel like they could be a little more layered. I just feel like it's not just like a straight, like Sauvignon Blanc's stone fruit in it, but those have layers too. I just feel like the overall taste of it is different.
Yeah, because of the skin contact. Tiki. So I have tasted maybe 2 or 3 orange wines in my life, and probably not 4 years. So I'm excited. I went to our local wine shop, Bottle Barn, just around the corner. It's a great store. And the guy inside was super helpful because I said I'm looking for orange wine, and he had them mostly in one shelf. I don't know if this is the case in most wine stores, but it actually had a little section. I say section. It was like half of one shelf. But then a couple of them were scattered in their geographic locations, like the one from Alsace was in a France region and the one from Spain. So it can be maybe not so straightforward if you're going into the store looking for them. So just ask for help, because the guy was super helpful. So I bought three. We have one from the Russian River Valley right here in Sonoma County where we sit. And we've got one from Alsace, as I mentioned, and then one from Spain. So the first one is Rumpelstiltskin, which I love the name. And I have some winemaking specs on this wine, but I'm not gonna read them out loud yet. Let's just look at it. What do you think about the color?
It's blush, pinkish, going into orange.
Yeah, this one definitely looks a little more like a rosé, but if I bought it and it was a rosé, I'd be like, oh, this rosé has an orange tint to it, but it's definitely on the pinker side of orange. Ooh, and it smells interesting. It smells fruity.
Okay, I was not expecting that from the smell.
All right, talk to me.
To me, I could smell the fruit in it. The same thing, like I said, about like the stone fruit, I could smell that. It has the same essence of a Sauvignon Blanc smell to it. So you think it's gonna be a little bit more sweeter tasting or fruit tasting? And when you taste it, it's very...
There's a bitterness on the finish, obviously, because of tannin.
Yeah. It's more tannic.
It smells like a white wine or a rosé, but in my mouth, it feels like a red. And if I was doing Hobie's tasting in the dark and I was blindfolded and someone put this glass in front of me, I would be so confused. Because what you smell does not lead you to what it's, you taste.
Yeah, it smells white and in your mouth it tastes red.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like the finish. It's not off-putting to me. And
no.
I like that it's got a really long finish, like a red, because of the tannin. It's very mouth-coating. I think it's yummy. I think it's interesting.
And it's Trousseau Gris?
Trousseau? Gris in French.
G-R-I-S.
That's gray in French, but you don't pronounce the S, like Pinot Gris. Trousseau Gris. So here's what we know about this Rumpelstiltskin. Trousseau Gris is a rare, near-extinct cultivar from the Jura region of France near Switzerland. The grape is neither white nor red, but a pink skin grape called Gris. This wine was fermented on the skins for 5 weeks, so 5 weeks of skin contact. Tee-hee. The resulting wine is pink-orange colored with considerable structure on the palate. I totally agree with that. Low intervention winemaking procedures. Many people call it natural wine. I've talked about that. Fermented with the native yeast naturally present on the grapes. That's the hallmark of natural wine. No fining or filtration. 1,002 bottles produced. Looks like they won some cool awards from the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition. Best in class natural wine, 2025. I paid for this $27.99, and I think it's yummy. I am excited to take another sip.
So when it says fermented the juice with skins and aged in neutral vessel. So neutral would probably be like steel or neutral barrels?
I would say neutral barrel, oak, yeah.
Okay.
Used oak barrel. I wanna try this with a piece of cheese. This is the Belloggioso Syrah rind cheese from Trader Joe's. It's a very white, tangy cheese, and I think it's gonna be yummy. I love that cheese. Ooh, nope, didn't play nice together. Did not like that at all, actually.
Oh, no.
Did you have the same cheese?
I had this one, I think.
Yeah, same. What happened?
It got bitter.
Like it made it even more bitter.
Interesting.
What about an almond with olive oil and rosemary? I feel like these wines can be tricky to pair because of the phenolics and the tannin, but if you find the right pairing, that was better.
That was much better.
That's so funny. We both nodded at the same time.
Yeah.
That was better. I think that other cheese was maybe too salty or too creamy.
What about the Beemster?
Beemster, aged Gouda. Let's try that.
I think that was better.
Better? Okay. So we like the orange cheese with the orange wine, not the white cheese.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of food and wine pairing, in Food and Wine magazine from May of 2025, there's a whole section on tacos and wine. I don't even think I've showed you this.
No.
This is like meant for us. And there's a page about carne asada with red wines and al pastor with Chardonnay. And then there's a page all about chicken tacos with orange wine as a pairing. And it says, finding a match for an orange wine is a fascinating part of our tasting. Orange wines fought with the iron notes in steak tacos and were overpowered by the fattiness of pork tacos. But the char-grilled chicken thigh taco, light tannins were a perfect match, providing just enough structure to stand up to the rich meat, while the wine's bright acidity added a zesty edge. Can we have chicken tacos for dinner?
Maybe.
So I thought that was cool. Okay, we've moved on to wine number
two. The new chapter. It's a cool little label with a bunch of sheep on it.
These all have fun and interesting kind of modern looking labels. Yeah.
Domaine Ostertag?
Yep. So this is from Alsace. 2023 Domaine Ostertag, the new chapter, Vin Orange.
13.5% alcohol.
90% Gewürztraminer, 10% Sylvaner, which is our two lesser known, probably underappreciated by most American wine drinkers, grapes. But Gewürztraminer, or Gewürzt as we call it for short, is in the aromatic family of white grapes with Riesling and Viognier that I always sing about.
Is that why you get the cloudiness because of the unfiltered?
Yeah, it is cloudy. And less pink than Rumpelstiltskin. Definitely more of a true light orange. I haven't even smelled it yet. Ooh, your eyes got really big when you smelled it. Talk to me. Ooh.
It's got old world smell to it.
Oh my God.
Which I love always.
I almost smell, and this is maybe my brain trying to be literal, but like orange peel.
Yeah. That's hung out in a cellar
and
in France.
And almost like a liqueur, or like a cordial or liqueur note on there. Interesting. It's a little frizzante. It's interesting. It is very different than the first one.
Yeah. To me, this one, it's lighter, and it does have a little bit of frizzante to it. And
frizzante means, listener, not quite sparkling, right? Where you feel a little bit of liveliness and tightness.
Of essence.
Like effervescent, but not fully.
Not the band Evanescence, but Evanescence.
No, that's Evanescence.
Yeah, correct.
The winemaker's notes say here, everything Arthur Ostertag touches turns to gold, or amber in this case. This playful blend of Gewürztraminer with a splash of Sylvaner is simultaneously fresh and deep, possessing otherworldly aromas and flavors of rose petal, apricot, and peach. Pair it with a creamy polenta, that could be fun, onion tart, or your favorite card game. 13.5% alcohol, certified biodynamic, so that is like taking organic farming to a whole nother level with biodynamic. That is things like harvesting by the cycles of the moon and the tides. This one was the most expensive. This was $33.99.
It's expensive to be harvesting by the moon.
Yeah. I need some more time with this. I'm still getting to know it. It's very intriguing, just the smell of it.
I almost even get like the Band-Aid smell to it.
A little bit of that petrol note.
Yeah.
I would say even though the aromatics and the flavors of the California Rumpelstiltskin Trousseau Gris and this from Alsace with primarily Gewürzt, aromatics and flavors very different, but they have a common feeling in the mouth of structure, tannin, and fresh acid. So very different in the beginning, but very similar in the end of the sip. If we think of the sip as beginning, middle, end, the end,
and
the finish.
Between the first two, I feel this one tastes more orangey.
Yeah. This one tastes more quote unquote natural, more of a natural wine, like that frizzante, which is sometimes a little bit of secondary fermentation happening in the bottle if they're choosing not to use sulfur. That is often a marker of natural wine. It says it's unfiltered. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Let's try it with the cheeses.
Yeah.
And?
Didn't help it.
No.
Still funky.
It is funky. I think it's definitely a funky wine, but we also went from New World to Old World,
yeah.
Right? Do you like it?
It's fine. It's not the changes and the difference between the orange peel note with the funkiness is not off-putting. I feel like it's harder to pair this one than it would be the other one.
Yeah, this would have to be a little more specific from a food pairing. Not like anything I've tasted before.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying that experience because it's like waking up my brain and my palate like, oh, this is really different. All right. We will be right back. If you heard our 69th episode from April 2025, you heard my amazing conversation with Sina Wheeler. Sina is from a fifth-generation fishing family, and she and her husband Rich founded Sina Sea, and he catches wild, sustainably caught fish in Alaska, and then they cut it and package it and ship it to your door, and it's premium sushi quality when it arrives. You can create a subscription box, and they'll even guide you as to what's in season. For instance, May is the start of Copper River salmon season. In our episode, you heard Sina and I tasting this very salmon, which was delicious. And we made poke bowls and paired it with wine, of course. And I was really blown away, not only at the awesome quality of the fish, but the sustainability of the packaging when it arrived. And then the recipe card that was packed inside the box and how easy it was to prepare. So I'm so excited to introduce you to Sina Sea, so that you can have it shipped right to your door from a small family-owned business. They've been kind enough to create a discount code for our listeners. The code is SIPANDSEA, SIPANDSEA, SIPANDSEA. And you can use that at their website, SinaSea.com, SENASEA, SinaSea.com for 10% off your order. This can be for a one-time purchase, or you can sign up and save with a subscription box. I also encourage you to sign up for their email list for great recipes and inspirations of how to incorporate healthy and beautiful fish into your diet regularly. They do a monthly drawing for a $50 gift card for all the members on their mailing list. So go check out the delicious wild Alaskan fish at SinaSea.com. Healthy fish delivered easy. Smoky balsamic glazed ribs. What? Did I get your attention? So AmericanOliveFarmer.com is a business and a website owned and operated by my friend Liz Tagami. She and her husband Donald live in Corning, California, and I recently had Liz on the podcast, and we got to taste some of her beautiful olive oils that are made right here in California, both Arbequina and Ascolano. Well, that was just the tip of the iceberg, because if you check out her website, she imports gorgeous balsamic vinegar from Modena. One of them uses three of my favorite Italian wine grapes as the base of the vinegar. Trebbiano, Lambrusco, and Sangiovese. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? And while on their website, if you sign up to stay in touch, you'll receive their newsletter and you'll get the delicious recipes that Liz and Donald have created using their awesome products. I'm so excited to introduce all of you to American Olive Farmer, and Liz has kindly created a discount code for our listeners. Use the code SIPWITHNIKKI, capital S, capital W, and capital N, SIPWITHNIKKI, for $10 off your order, and that can be from anything off the site, whether it's delicious oils or vinegars. She has gifts. You can even send someone an olive tree as a really unique gift. How cool is that? Check out AmericanOliveFarmer.com and support this fantastic, small, California-based, woman-led business. You can even set up an olive oil subscription. Go check it out. You're welcome. And now, back to the show.
Cool. Let's try the one from Spain. Tell me about what you see on the label there, sir.
Looks like an old dude, old style, like from the 1900s, with the big handlebar mustache. Like he's a...
power lifter, like a weightlifter.
But like the old school... boxing and stuff.
Yeah, except his barbells have
barrels,
wine barrels on each side. Yeah. And the name of it is?
Gulp Hablo?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Yeah.
I don't know what that means in Spanish, but.
You should know. That's why I have you here to translate. This is the palest color of the three. I would say it's almost super pale orange with a more yellowy tint. If you were buying this thinking it was a white wine, you would think the color was just off a little bit.
This one smells good.
Yeah, this one's definitely cloudy. This seems unfiltered as well. And I think with these orange wines, which often coincide with natural wines, but not always, consumers who are seeking out these wines are more forgiving and accustomed to seeing a cloudy wine, whereas most white wine and rosé are filtered for that clarity, just really because of perception and nothing else. Ooh, she smells pretty. This is a blend of equal parts Verdejo and Sauvignon Blanc, which is a common combination for the white wines of this region. And here, made into an orange wine via a week of maceration on the skins. That's why the color's so pale. Aromatics of orange blossom and tropical jackfruit with moderately tannic dried citrus peel, tea, and preserved apricots on the yeasty and textured palate.
It's good. I like the smell of it.
I love the smell of it.
And before you even told me that, I was going to say it has that smell, even like the first one has, about the stone fruit, like Sauvignon Blanc, very, you know, notes to it, mixed with orange, which is interesting.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
And it has the prettiest nose, for me, the most pleasing citrusy notes on the palate, and the least amount of tannin and astringency on the back end, which would make sense because it says this was only a week of skin contact, which is why the color's light and the tannin's light. Right. Certainly lighter than the others, yeah.
But like this one, the Rumpelstiltskin would be a red grape? Is it a red grape or still a white grape? So all of them are all white grapes?
Yeah,
okay.
That's what you need for orange wine, yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise it would be rosé. If it was made in this way with grapes, it would be rosé. Yeah. That's the difference. This Gulp Ablo is from the Castile-La Mancha region in Spain, and the alcohol is only 12.3, which is pretty low. And what I thought was interesting about this, it's not a 750 or a 3/4 liter bottle, which is standard for wine. It's a 1 liter bottle, so just a little bit bigger, which is cool. Yet it was the cheapest one at $18.99.
Here it says 11.5. And you said 12 there.
Even better. This was from their website.
This is like NA wine for us.
Yeah, basically, if it's 11 or 12% alcohol, that's basically non-alcoholic for us. I like this wine. I'm going to take another sip.
I would be interested to see this pairs well with tacos. I would buy this one again. Of the three, I'd like this one.
It's interesting. It doesn't have the funky, off-putting note. It's just, I think, very pretty. And I like the citrus notes of it. That's yummy. Yeah, let's do some chicken tacos. Cool. All right, so what do you think about orange wine?
I think they smell different and taste different, but...
Different from each other or different from...
These three all taste different from each other, period.
Very different. Very different.
I mean, regions, you got Spain, France, and Russian River. So... Very different tasting the terroir of each one of these wines. And because they're all made a little different and the grapes are all different.
I am not pouring any of these down the drain. I would enjoy any of these. But if you ask me right now in this moment, which one would I want to top off my glass and sit and spend some time with outside in the sun on our patio?
I would want to gulp an Ablo with this wine.
It would be gulp Ablo 2023 from Spain.
Yeah.
Really fun. Cool. Thanks for tasting with me.
Thank you.
So if you were today years old when you learned what orange wine is all about, you are not alone. Now you know how it's made and what to expect and how different they can be just from the three that we had. The Rumpelstiltskin from Russian River Valley in California, the Domaine Ostertag New Chapter Vin Orange from Alsace, and the super fun Gulp Ablo from Spain in the screw cap, nonetheless, 1 liter bottle for under $20. That is a gem. They were all fun and interesting, as you heard, but that one's probably on the top of the list. I will put the links in the show notes to all three of these wines so you can find and try them. And if you do, please send me a note, Nikki@sipwithnikki.com, and let me know how it went. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Nikki Lamberti, N-I-K-K-I, and then Lamberti, L-A-M-B-E-R-T-I, if you're not already, because I share footage of the recording and there's some posts with the orange wine labels on there. And you can also see my new puppies, Lucy and Rosie, if you follow me on Instagram as well. And finally, if you are looking for a red wine to go on your table with all your favorite delicious antipasto, charcuterie, and pizza, I'm so thrilled to share that just a couple days ago, we found out that our 2022 Solovato Sangiovese was awarded a gold medal in the Sunset International Wine Competition. We know it's delicious, and all of our wonderful customers who are enjoying it have told us it's delicious, but it's also nice to have a panel of professional judges give you that validation as well. So check out our website, solovatowines.com. Solovato is S-O-L-L-E-V-A-T-O, and it is Italian for joyful and uplifted. And make sure that you use the discount code PODLISTENER for 10% off your order, and we can ship to most states in the U.S. I hope you've enjoyed learning about orange wines with me today, and whatever you do between now and next week, I hope that you sip well.